Guys, hello, hello. How is everybody? If anyone's out there, you guys will probably all see it later. Who knows? Anyways, here I am. I am hanging out in a parking lot, and there was just an accident on the road. But I'm coming to you today. I, like my husband, have not been live in a long time. But I had been thinking about coming back online once in a while and going live. I'm definitely different than my husband. He is very fiery. He's very fiery. He's a fiery preacher. And but I am more of a teacher. And I like to learn things. And I like to go deeper in scriptures when I can. So, hey, Sheila. So I was reading yesterday and I just wanted to share some of the stuff that I was shown or that was, you know, revealed to me in the scripture. So, but like I said, I'm not my husband. So I am more of a teachery type than the fiery preachery type. But anyways, so I'm passing time right now. And so I wanted to come to you and share what I learned yesterday, but I am in Danville, Kentucky. And why, you ask, am I in Danville? What's in Danville? Well, my son has job training out here. He's getting promoted at work. So he's doing some job training classes. So I'm wasting time waiting for him to get out of his class. So I was sitting here in the parking lot. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm drinking my Starbucks because I had to get some coffee. And then there was an accident out here on the road, so I'm watching that. And then I was like, well, I'm going to go on. I'm going to talk about what happened. So yes, 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 I drove in that crazy snow ice storm thing a couple days ago. We drove after my son got off work, and we had to drive in that mess. It was crazy. We drove. It was a 2.5-hour drive. It took us 4 hours. I don't know why his job didn't cancel the class, but they didn't. So we drove for 4 hours, got to the hotel at 2 a.m. Hey, Amy. We drove in ice. We drove in snow, rain, fog, you name it. We were driving in it. It was insane. But anyway, so we made it. This is his second day of training classes. And so I had to check out of the hotel, and now I'm waiting around for him to get done. But so yesterday, I was getting in the Word. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what to read today. I popped open my Bible to the beginning of Luke. So I was like, well, okay, we're going to listen to Luke now. So we're going to read Luke. So I just started reading just like we did. Now, I titled this Responding to the Word of the Lord because we're going to look at two different responses when the Word of the Lord came. One was Zechariah and one was Mary. So at this point in Scripture, this is after 400 years of silence from the Lord. There were no prophetic words. No words came down from heaven. The last time an angel of the Lord had delivered a word from the Lord was 400 years prior to another Zechariah in the book of Zechariah. So this was 400 years later and the angel comes. So we're going to read some. But we're going to look at their responses to the word of the Lord and talk about how we should respond when we receive the word of the Lord. Whether it be a prophetic word, whether it be you're reading scripture and God speaks to you that way, if he just speaks to you in your innermost being, however God speaks to you, there's many ways he will speak to us. But when he speaks and we get that word from the Lord, what do we do with it? How do we respond to it? And sometimes, especially with prophetic words, it can be pretty unbelievable. I mean, you can get stuff prophesied over you and you're like, how in the world would that ever happen? And our response is key, the way we respond to that. So first, we're going to look at Zechariah, the beginning of Luke. I am reading in the Passion Translation. And before the keyboard warriors, you know, get out there and start bashing the Passion Translation, I always use multiple translations. At the very least, I will have my New King James and I will have my Passion Translation. I also like New Living Translation. There's three different types of translations. So there is the word for word translations, thought for thought, and then paraphrase. And we won't get into all that today, but I like different versions, but I was reading in the Passion, and I love some of the footnotes in here, or study notes. So, it's one thing I love about the Passion Translation. If you get the actual book rather than reading it online, you can see all the study notes. And he explains a lot why he's interpreted things the way he did, if he used the Aramaic or the Greek or the Hebrew, sometimes all of them. But anyway, so Zechariah, let's read a little bit in here. So one day while Zechariah, now Zechariah was a priest, right? And this is when it was his turn to go into the temple when they did their sacrifices and all that stuff. And then the one priest went in the Holy of Holies. So he was chosen this time to go in there to light the lampstand, I think. So one day while Zechariah's priestly order was on duty and he was serving as priest, it happened by the casting of lots, according to the custom of the priesthood, that the honor fell upon Zechariah to enter into the holy place and burn incense before the Lord. And a large crowd of worshipers had gathered to pray outside the temple at the hour when incense was being offered. All at once, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing just to the right of the altar of incense. So remember, this is the first time in 400 years that the word of the Lord has come to the people. Zechariah was startled and overwhelmed with fear, but the angel reassured him, saying, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God is showing grace to you, for I have come to tell you that your prayer for a child has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. His birth will bring you much joy and gladness. Many will rejoice because of him. He will be one of the great ones in the sight of God. He will drink no wine or strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even while still in his mother's womb." Isn't that amazing? Babies can feel the Holy Spirit. Babies can be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in the womb. I don't think only John is the only one. And I think sometimes when we are in the presence of God, when we are pregnant, you know, as our children grow, there are still seeds being planted, even when you're pregnant. Because later in life, I feel their spirits know the Spirit of God. And it just helps things. So anyways, where was I? I got off on that. He will go before the Lord. Wait, he will persuade many in Israel to convert and turn back to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord as a forerunner with the same power and anointing as Elijah the prophet. He will be instrumental in turning the hearts of the fathers in tenderness back to their children and the hearts of the disobedient back to the wisdom of their righteous fathers. And he will prepare a united people who are ready for the Lord's appearing. So the angel comes and gives this big word that he's going to have a child. He's going to name him John, all this stuff. And now up until this point, his wife has been barren. So they didn't have any kids. So Zechariah's response. So here's Zechariah's response to this. The angel comes, brings a word from the Lord. And Zechariah asks the angel, "How do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man and my wife is too old to give me a child. What sign can you give me to prove this will happen?" Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand beside God himself. He has sent me to announce to you this good news. But now, since you did not believe my words, you will be stricken silent and unable to speak until the day my words have been fulfilled at their appointed time and a child is born to you. That will be your sign." So, Zechariah, from that point on, could not speak until when his son came. So, Zechariah's response was, "There is no way possible we can have a baby. How can I even believe you? So you have to give me a sign to prove to me that what you're saying is the truth." I mean, this is an angel. And he's pretty much asking the angel to prove to him he's not lying. So anyway, so that was Zechariah. So now we'll move on to Mary. So next it goes to Mary. Well, let's see. Blah, blah, blah. The crowds outside, you know, they were waiting, and they're like, "Why is he in there so long?" And he came out, and when he went, because what happens, the priests come out, and then they give that Levitical blessing or whatever over the people. And he couldn't do that because he went to speak to give the blessing and he couldn't talk. So he just had to gesture and motion. And his wife becomes pregnant. So then we move on, and then it's talking about the Jesus. So and this Gabriel again, and he goes to Mary. So Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant. And it actually says that Elizabeth hid herself away for the next 5 months. So what it was custom back then, in the Jewish custom, when women were pregnant, they did nothing for the first 3 months. But I could see with Elizabeth, like, oh my gosh, I'm too old to have a baby and now I'm pregnant. So she hid herself away for 5 months, not just three. So no one knew she was pregnant. Like, there was no Facebook. She didn't put no tweets out there. So there was no way that Mary would have known she was pregnant, you know? But yeah, the first 3 months it was a custom for the women that were pregnant to basically lay down and rest and do nothing. No cooking, no cleaning, do nothing. People will take care of you. And you know what? I got to thinking about that. And here's a little side note here. No wonder they had so many kids, because if I got to have a 3 month break from having to cook or clean and have people take care of me instead, and I just got to lay around and do nothing for 3 months, heck, I'd want to have a lot of kids too. I want my 3 month little vacation there. But anyways, you know, I'm joking. Maybe. So now we'll move on to Mary. So Mary, Gabriel comes and appears to Mary. Now Mary is a young girl. She's at the age she can get married, but she's not. She's a virgin. She's engaged to Joseph. And Gabriel appears to her. So here we are in verse 28, in Luke 1, verse 28, in the Passion Translation. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you. And so you are anointed with great favor." The Lord was with her, so she is anointed with great favor. Isn't that amazing? When the presence of God is with us, we are anointed with great favor. We have the presence of God, but we, since Jesus has come, we have the presence of God living within us. We carry his presence. So we, as well, have great favor with the Lord. We are anointed with great favor, just like Mary. Isn't that amazing? I love that. Okay, so Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. Yes, I'm live without you. You went and took a nap. My wonderful husband. I was bored, okay? So I had to go live. So anyways, Mary was troubled over the words the angel said, because she hasn't even been with a man, and the angel's saying, you're going to have a baby. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing. His reign will have no limits. He's limitless. So here is Mary's response now. So we're mainly looking at the responses. So Zechariah had unbelief in his response to Elizabeth getting pregnant. Now Mary, her response, Mary said in verse 34, Mary said, "But how could this happen? I am still a virgin." So she did not say, "There's no way this could happen. You need to prove to me that what you're saying is true." Like Zechariah said, she says, she's just literally just in wonderment, like, how is God going to do this? You see the difference in the responses? So it's, "But how could this happen? I'm still a virgin." She's not saying it couldn't happen. She's wondering how it could happen. So Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you." So he explains to her how it's going to happen. "And Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." So here's the rest of Mary's response. So she wonders, how is God going to do this? Not will he? So then Mary responded in verse 38, saying, this is amazing. Remember, this is the Passion Translation, but it's very similar in the King James too. New King James. This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. I will be. You hear that? I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. And then the angel left her. So what are the two responses they had to the word of the Lord? So 400 years earlier, an angel had appeared to Zechariah, who wrote the book of Zechariah. 400 years pass, God has not spoken to his people. And then all of a sudden, two people get words from God through the angel Gabriel, who Gabriel said, he is the angel that stands next to God himself. He comes straight from the presence of the Lord. He stands right next to the Lord. And so he comes to these two people, to Zechariah and Mary, and gives them words from God. Hey, David, how are you? So what's the difference is Zechariah, they both got prophetic words. They both got prophetic words from Gabriel, who comes straight from God's presence, but there were two different reactions. So you have the priest, mind you, who asks for a sign to prove the validity of the word. So he's reacting in unbelief. He doesn't see in his natural mind how this could happen, and he has unbelief. Mary accepts the word with total belief and faith. She doesn't say, I'm not sure this could happen. She says, I wonder how God's going to do this. So she accepts the word and she comes into agreement with the word. When she says, where we just read it, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. At that moment, she came into agreement and embraced the word from the Lord. And that's what we need to do. When you get a word from God, whether it's prophecy, whether it's something the Lord speaks to you just in your spirit or through the word or however he speaks to you. But when God speaks, do you come in agreement with that word? It's not just listening to it or even the prophetic word saying, wow, that's cool. And just putting your feet up and waiting for it to happen. You have to take steps toward it. So you have to first embrace that word and come into agreement with it. Many years ago, I never considered myself a worship leader. And even to this day, I can see how much better others are than me. They're more talented. They've had more training, you know, but I just do what the Lord has called me to do. And I just have to depend on him. I did not get years and years of training in classical piano. You know, I did not go to worship school. I did not go to Bible school, you know, but years ago, God had me put, I was in my Facebook page on the little bio when it says what you are, what you do, he had me put worship leader. And I'm like, this is stupid. I just don't need to put this. I'm going to look like I'm being prideful or cocky. And I'm not, but it was part of a process because other people saw me that way. And God, that's what God had called me to become. So I had to start seeing myself as a worship leader. I had to start calling myself a worship leader. You know, it's not like you get so much training and you get to this point where you've arrived and you're now a worship leader. No, we are these things God's calling us to do. Maybe we don't have the experiential wisdom yet. You know, maybe we don't have all the knowledge. God hasn't molded our character yet, but we are in that process. You need to embrace the word. And you need to look at, speak where you are going, not where you're at. You want to look at where. And that's what the prophetic word is about, is to shift your focus from now and here, and when God speaks, to what he is calling us to be, what you are to become. So you want to embrace that word like Mary. So when we hear God say, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or, you know, or you're believing for a breakthrough in your life, and God's like, I'm going to get you through this. You know, we don't sit there and say, I don't see how this could happen. You got to prove it to me, God. You know, let's say, God, I wonder how you're going to do this. You know, when I know I'm going through stuff and I know God has spoken to me and he has promised deliverance or he has promised freedom in an area, or he just speaks to me, or you get that prophetic word about where he's taking you, what he will have you do. And instead of saying, I don't see it, I don't know how that could ever happen, let's say, how are you going to do this, God? How is this going to work out? I wonder what this adventure is going to end up looking like. I wonder what the path will look like. So we need to respond like Mary is saying, how is this going to happen? Not will it happen, but how is it going to happen? Let's start looking for how God is going to do things rather than wondering, will he do things? Will he do it? Yes, read his word. It is his word. He will not go against his word, right? So now for Mary, because she believed, great favor came upon her. So let's skip up to verse 45. I wrote that down yesterday. So she goes to visit Elizabeth. And this is really awesome here too. So Mary goes after that and hurried off to the village where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived, arriving at their home. So I'm in verse 40 right now. Mary entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the moment she heard Mary's voice, the baby within Elizabeth's womb jumped and kicked, and suddenly Elizabeth was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. So remember, here's another little tidbit. Remember when the angel appeared to Zechariah and said that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from within the womb. This is where I believe this happened. I think when John leaped, when the presence of the Lord that was being carried within Mary came into the room, John, who was still in the womb, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it overflowed out of Elizabeth, and she prophesied. So that's, you know, that's my interpretation of him leaping. That doesn't mean, you know, so hold off, little keyboard warriors. That's my interpretation. But anyways, so then Elizabeth prophesies. And that's part of her prophecy. She says, Mary, you are a woman given the highest favor and privilege above all others, for your child is destined to bring God great delight. How did I deserve such a remarkable honor to have the mother of my Lord come and visit me? The moment you came, so she was the first person, she prophesied Jesus as the Savior. The moment you came in the door and greeted me, my baby danced inside me with ecstatic joy. And then here's verse 45. Great favor is upon you, for you have believed every word spoken to you from the Lord. When we embrace the word of the Lord, great favor comes upon us. When we believe what God says and we believe what he's going to do, when we walk in that faith, great favor comes upon us. Just like Mary, she had great favor upon her because she believed every word spoken to her from the Lord. She responded with, let every word you have spoken to me come true. Let it be so. I accept all the Lord has for me. She knew the cost because she knew she could get shunned. She could get disowned by her family because people would not believe her. I mean, it's not common for a girl to walk around back then and say, oh yeah, well, you know, the Lord God, he's put this baby inside of me. This is our Savior. I mean, you know how crazy she would have sounded to people? She knew she risked being disowned and being shunned and losing Joseph, who she was engaged to. But so when she said, I accept all the Lord has for me, she was accepting any persecution and any consequences also of that decision, you know, from others. So she knew what she was getting into. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, I just receive it. She counted the cost as well. About as crazy as you sound. Yes, because we're crazy for Jesus. But that was her. She embraced the word, the whole word. She embraced the word and knew there was a cost and a process that she had to walk out. So, they cleared up the accident. Cool. So we want to be like Mary and we want to embrace that word. And then we start walking it out. Now, Zechariah, we're going to skip forward. And we're going to see, because what about Zechariah? He's mute because he did not believe the word of the Lord. So he has not come into agreement with it yet. His wife is now, we're skipping forward to where Elizabeth is giving birth to John. And because I want to show you this thing about Zechariah. So where are we? So when Elizabeth's pregnancy was full term, we're in verse 57. She gave birth to a son. All her family, friends, and neighbors heard about it, and they too were overjoyed, for they realized that the Lord has showered such wonderful mercy upon her. When the baby was 8 days old, according to their custom, all the family and friends came together for the circumcision ceremony. Everyone was convinced the parents would name the baby Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth spoke up and said, "No, he has to be named John." "What?" they exclaimed. "No one in your family line has that name." So they gestured to the baby's father to ask what to name the child. So see, it was at their circumcision at 8 days old is when the child got its name. And this is when the father would speak blessings over his child. He would speak and prophesy into that child's future and speak blessings on him and give him his name. So, you know, the angel had said that when the baby was born, Zechariah would speak again. But here it is 8 days later, he still has not spoken yet. So this is key. So they gestured to the baby's father, asking what to name the child. After motioning for a writing tablet, in amazement of all, he wrote, "His name is John." So at that moment, Zechariah came into agreement with that word that Gabriel had spoken to him. It was at that moment when he had to do something. He had to step into that word and embrace it. So, and it's significant. It's because the father is the one that names the child. So by him naming the child, the name Gabriel said he should be named, is how it was Zechariah coming into agreement with that word and speaking that word that Gabriel spoke to him over his son. And then it says in the next verse, instantly Zechariah could speak again, and his first words were praises to the Lord. The fear of God fell upon the people in the village, and the news of the astounding event traveled through the hill country. So if you go forward a couple verses, Zechariah, then he's filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. So he prophesies and he praises God and he prophesies. So you can read it in your own Bible. He prophesies over John, his son, and gives the blessing. So even the blessing that the father speaks over the newborn son at 8 days old is a Holy Spirit filled blessing. Zechariah was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't just the average everyday blessing a father would speak over his child at 8 days old, you know, as was custom. This was a Holy Spirit filled prophecy prophesied over John the Baptist. So baby John is filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb, which causes Elizabeth to be filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesy to Mary. And then at John's birth, his father, who finally comes into agreement with that word from the Lord, is filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and prophesies over his son. Isn't that awesome? That is so awesome. But anyways, so at that moment when Zechariah said or wrote down on the tablet, his name is John, he finally came into agreement with that word. He finally embraced the word from the Lord. And then he was able to speak again. Could you imagine a preacher that could not preach for 9 months? Because he didn't believe the word of the Lord? I mean, that's pretty severe. It wasn't just, oh, he was the everyday person. He didn't believe the prophecy and he was struck mute. This is a preacher that was struck mute. That'd be like a worship leader that's suddenly tone deaf, you know, or I don't know. You know what I mean, though? I mean, it was a pretty serious thing. It wasn't just he could not speak. He could not preach. He could not do and speak the blessings and the things that they spoke over the people. He couldn't read Torah out loud. None of that, you know, that they would do. So, hello, Rose Esther. How are you? I haven't seen you in forever. So anyways, let's see, what I have stuff written. So that is the two responses. And those just really stuck out to me. So when God speaks to us, whether we get that prophetic word or whether he just speaks in however God speaks, we can either be like Zechariah and say, prove to me it will happen. Or we can be like Mary and just say, I wonder how it will happen. Let everything you have spoken come to pass. You know, so let's embrace the word. Let's come in alignment with the word God gives us. And then start moving towards that word. We don't just sit back and say, oh, I don't see how that'll happen, but it'd be really cool if it did. You know, and, but, let's see. How can I do this? On here. Has anything to say? I even know how to do this. If he's still there, he might have popped off. Can you imagine my own husband didn't listen to my whole life? Just kidding. We'll see if he pops on. But yeah, so anyways, just it's embrace the word that the Lord gives us. There he is.
I'm on here. I'm listening.
You have anything to say?
Well, I don't know. You kind of put me on the spot there at the last minute. But you know what's significant there is 8 days. You know, and eight is often symbolizes new beginnings.
Yeah.
And on the eighth day, when he come into agreement with the word of God, he not only got a new beginning, but they got a new voice. Because we agreed with God that there was a new voice on the eighth day. So a new beginning sometimes in a different season, glory to God, it brings a different voice to you. It brings a new voice to you. And when you walk into a new beginning, a lot of times things are different and things are new to you. But they're new on a purpose, and there's an anointing on there when we come into agreement, when we walk into something new, when it's our eighth day, when it's the, you know, that week of trial and tribulation and everything, because not being able to speak is hard because you have to write everything down. You have to motion for things. And if you ever, you know, somebody that's deaf or can't speak, they motion, they have to write things down, they have to read lips, they can't communicate as well. So you can imagine there are seasons when we're not communicating as well as we should, or we're not able to communicate, but then all of a sudden there's a fresh anointing come on there, and we're able to communicate during that season, and we're able to express what God is saying sometimes. And you know, that stuck out to me as that eight, because I'm always a numbers guy, just like I would see, you know, different numbers I see all the time and different things I see from God, but you know, I never, just reading that or just thinking about it, you may not stop and think about how significant that was for the eighth day. But that's another reason that God says it's a new beginning, you know, because 7 days, you know, even on the seventh day, he rested. But on the eighth day, it was a new beginning. Everything was completed in that 7 days. But on the eighth day, it was a new beginning. Everything was already made. Everything was created. And it was a new, fresh start. And everything was fresh. And see, so there's a lot of people that are getting breakthrough right now during this hour. See, that was a breakthrough with his voice.
Yeah.
That was a breakthrough. He might not have come in full agreement with the word, but at the moment that you come into agreement with the word on your life, you receive breakthrough. And when you receive breakthrough, new things happen and different things happen to you. So there was breakthrough that happened. And how many knows that that's a major word right now is breakthrough. So there's a lot of people that have been stuck where they're at. A lot of people's voices have been stuck. A lot of people have not been moving forward, and there's breakthrough coming. And I decree and declare that today, that breakthrough is coming. And not only for you, but I declare declared for myself that breakthrough is coming this year, and nothing shall hold us from being able to speak what thus saith the Lord and be able to move into what God has for us on this eighth day today. Nothing will be able to stop us from doing, as long as we come in agreement with the word. See, there's a lot of voices in people's heads sometimes, just like you said. I'm sure there was a carnal thinking there. How can the world, can, you know, this happen? This doesn't make sense. This naturally, carnally doesn't make any sense to me. Well, I'm going to tell you that God is a spirit, and God, and those that worship him in spirit and in truth. So if we think carnally, if we use our carnal mind, a carnal mind cannot discern the things of God. The Bible says that the carnal mind cannot discern the things. They cannot process the thing. You cannot think about the things of God because you're carnal. That's why we have to have the Spirit of God to be able to interpret the Word of God. And when we get the Spirit of God down in us, we get our carnal thinking out of the way and we think supernaturally. See, when I think supernaturally, there's nothing that's impossible with God. When I think supernaturally, what is it for a limb to grow out? What is it for somebody to be healed? What is it for somebody to be delivered? What is it for miracles to really happen? What is it for you know, people to get a new heart? What is that when you start thinking in the spiritual? There's nothing that's impossible with God. I mean, everything was created with a spoken word. Because it was a spoken word that was created. It was a spoken word that's creative. So the moment you come into agreement with the word of God and you begin to speak that out, you become creative yourself.
Yep.
See, he became creative himself the moment he agreed with the word of God. There was his voice recreated the problem that was blocking it and began to speak the moment he come into agreement with the word of God. And so many of us out there, it's just simple agreement with the word of God. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That's the word of God. You know, by his stripes I am healed. I wasn't healed or were healed or should have been healed or could have been healed or might be healed, but we were healed. We are healed. There's not any doubt about that in our mind. And when we get that doubt out and we start walking out the word of God, that's when things begin to change. That's when things begin to shift. And that's when people step into their destinies. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yep. Just like Mary did. And you think even with Zechariah, he, you know, when he came into agreement with the word, and then if he had not come into agreement with that word, he would not have been able to speak the proper blessing over John and prophecy that was supposed to be spoken, because that was a big deal back then when they spoke that blessing over their son at the circumcision. It would have been just random, you know. He couldn't have spoken exactly what God wanted prophesied over John if he had not come into that agreement with the word that God gave him.
Back in that day with the Jews, it had to be written in the Torah. So there was only a specific religious authorities that were allowed to read the Torah and interpret the Torah and stuff like that. So for somebody to be even labeled a prophet or prophetic, they had to go through a council of the Torah. They had to go through certain things and Jewish things to be qualified as a prophet or be qualified as that. And that's why they were so stirred up when John the Baptist finally came. You see, John the Baptist was an unborn child, and he was the first to recognize Jesus. Now, put that over your abortion clinics out there. An unborn baby, glory to God, in the womb was the first to recognize the Spirit of the living God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, right there speaks to you about how much of them. See, a baby, when they're in the womb, they come straight from heaven down into the womb. Hallelujah. They know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. That's even why all those aborted babies, they know who Jesus is. And I'm not just getting off on abortion or something. I'm just telling you that an unborn baby is the first to recognize Jesus. That speaks a lot in my mind, glory to God, that an unborn baby. But do you know how significant John the Baptist was? He was 6 months prior to Jesus. But you see that there has to be a move of the prophetic go out, and there has to be a prophetic voice to go out before the glory of the Lord showed up. So the prophetic of the voice went out first. The prophetic went out first, and then the glory of God showed up. That's why the Bible tells us here in these last days to prepare ye the way of the Lord, to make straight his path in the desert. What you said, it was holiness that set over upon a way of holiness, a highway of holiness in a desert, glory to God, will spring up. That's why the prophetic right now has to be sanctified and has to be walking in holiness of the Holy Ghost, glory to God, right now. Because when it does, the glory of the Lord is going to show up, glory to God, after the prophetic goes out. Even in your life, you could simplify that to the life, that the prophetic words that are from heaven. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that are just people's mind made up or feel good. I'm talking about the ones that are really from heaven, glory to God. When you embrace those words that are from heaven in your life, the glory of God will show up in your life, and God will do things with you and through you that you didn't even think was possible, glory to God. But you have to start believing with the Spirit and saying, listen, you know, I know even Wendy on here, that carnal things have come in to try to hinder Wendy, and carnal things have come in to do this. But But I'm telling you, Wendy, if you come in agreement with the Word of God and you cancel every voice out in your head that's not of God, every thought, every lying demon, everything that would tell you you're not enough or you're never going to make it or you're done, when you cancel all those voices out and you come into agreement with what the Lord is saying right now, that you're a daughter of God and that you and the Word of God will be a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet, then things will begin to shift. But as long as you're entertaining thoughts, glory to God, Wendy, as long as you entertain a thought that's not from God, then you're going to be stuck where you're at. But the moment that you entertain what God is saying in your life and the prophetic word God's speaking over you, then things will shift and you will begin to move into it. And you may not initially feel like, glory to God, that's what I've been feeling. I know that's why I've been sensing too. But that's what you've been feeling. But the moment you come into agreement with God and His Word and become, listen, I say become stubborn with His Word. Don't back off of His Word. Don't back off of His promises and hold on to Him with everything you got and begin to walk that out. And even if the devil tells you you're never going to make it or he's still lying to you, don't listen to him and just walk towards God. It's simple as that. Keep going towards God no matter what. Glory to God. And I will tell you, hey, Anita, and I'll tell you, Wendy, if you keep holding on to the Word that God's spoken over you even right now as a man of God, that I'm telling you what's going on with your life and you said it was right. Hold on to the Word of God. Hold on to what God says about you and not everybody else. Cancel all those lying thoughts out in your head right now, Wendy, and begin to step towards God and never let go of the promises of God. I mean, walk towards God with everything that you have. Praise God when you don't feel like praising God. Shout when you don't feel like shouting. Give God the glory when you don't feel like giving the glory. See, it's more than just feelings, glory to God, sometimes. If it was about feelings, I probably would feel like I never do anything. Or felt like this, but it's more than a feeling. There's an old song that used to be out that Boston used to sing. It was more than a feeling. Well, being with God is just more than a feeling. It's more than emotion, glory to God. It's walking with the Spirit of the living God. Hell, that's right, Wendy. Hold on to the Word of God. It's a sacrifice of praise. That's why our garments sometimes are sacrifices before God. If it's not a sacrifice, it's really worthy of to be laid at the altar of God. That's why things that we lay at the altar of God are sacrifices in our life. And we give up things of this world, glory to God, to be able to carry this anointing and be able to walk into the Spirit of God, Wendy, and everybody on here. And I'm telling you, when we give up things to this world and we sacrifice our time and we sacrifice our money and we come into an agreement with the prophetic words like we were talking about John the Baptist in our life, and we hold on to the Spirit of God and what God's saying, it changes things, it shifts things. There's a paradigm shift that comes, glory to God, and there's great breakthrough. That's a word for this year, and I've heard it over and over again, but I'm telling you that there's great breakthrough that comes in our life when we refuse, glory to God, we refuse to believe a lie of the enemy, and we hang on to the words that are spoken over us from God and the Word of God, and we begin to walk those out daily. There's something that happens, glory to God, in that walk. See, I was reading earlier, it said the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The only way that I can become righteous is the Spirit of a living God in me, showing me, directing me, leaping within me, that urge from the heavens to speak, and that urge to be quiet, and that urge to sit down, which is the Holy Ghost. That's the only way that I can of righteousness. It's the Holy Ghost that's living in me. Hallelujah. Directing me, guiding my steps as I follow the Word of God. Hallelujah. So that's why I'm so thankful that the prophetic, like John the Baptist, always came before the glory.
Yep.
So when the prophetic words are going out and God's doing a certain thing, if they're true prophetic words, the glory will show up behind them. Glory to God. If they're not prophetic words, then the glory will not show up. But if they are true prophetic words, like given from John the Baptist, the glory will show up and you'll make straight his path a highway of holiness in the desert. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And you know,
thank you, Lord.
Just like you were saying, how John the Baptist came before Jesus to bring that prophetic word out. I mean, this, even just the prophecy from the angel to Zechariah and to Mary for John and Jesus, that was, you know, like I said, it was the first time a prophetic word had come from heaven in 400 years. Yep. So this was the new era that was starting. Yep. It was a new era, the era of Jesus, of our Savior, you know, the Messiah coming to the earth. So so what God did first was he reinstated the prophetic word. Because that was the first thing, the prophecy went out before John, before Jesus, as that new era started, that the prophetic word was the first thing God restored, and that's what he's doing again right now, because we're entering this awakening in this new era.
You're right. And, you know, in our time, 400 years would seem like a long time. But in God's time, it said a day is to 1,000 years to God. So in God's time, it was about like from 8 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock at lunchtime. Our time, that's what was equivalent to about what God. But 400 years seemed like a long time. See, the Bible, it was ended in the Old Testament on a prophetic word from God. Those words were prophecy that was written down, you know, that was Malachi or something. It was towards the end there that they wrote those prophecies down. And it was 400 years later. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? And then all of a sudden, there's a man of, you know, all of a sudden that there's a man of God that's speaking wonders from the heaven here. And the religious people didn't know how to act because they haven't seen it and they haven't heard it. You see, that's something that goes on with a lot of people. Don't know, understand how to act when they hear from heaven for the first time, or they don't know how to respond or something like that. That's why we need good teachers to break the word down so people will know how to respond from heaven when they receive a word from God, and when they start walking in and seeing these wonders from God and seeing how the Holy Ghost operates in glory to God inside of a church. Because the religious people had kept the Holy Ghost and they kept the Spirit of God, they hindered themselves. It's not that God didn't want to speak, it's they hindered themselves by their traditions. And that's why it said, because of your traditions, I told somebody this the other day, you made the word of God to none effect, because they had followed traditions and not the Spirit of God. Because they had followed traditions, they made the word of God to none effect. If we follow traditions, we'll kill the prophetic. Yes. And that's what's happened in a lot of places. They followed traditions and timelines, and they've killed the prophetic, and that's kept the voice of God going before, and that's actually silenced the true voice of God from going out. Well, the minute we silence a real prophetic voice, that's why the Bible says a prophet is not without honor. I was thinking about this, but except where they're at. You know, there's honor for a prophet to receive, but not where they're at a lot of times, because people can't receive a prophet where they're at. They want to call on a prophet, you know, 200, 300, 400 miles away that they barely know, that they've seen online a couple of times, versus a real prophet that's right where they're at in the city, because they're familiar with them. So yeah, when people get familiar with you, sometimes they're like, oh, well, you know, I believe they're a man, or I believe they're a woman of God, but we'll go over here and pick this one out. They don't honor the people around them. But I tell you what, one thing I want to do is, my spiritual grandmother is one of the greatest prophetic women and prophets of the Lord I know of, and I honor her where she's from and where she's at, and I've always honored her. And see, honor is the currency of heaven. When we begin to honor one another, even in the prophetic and stuff, and we begin to honor, see, Zechariah, he finally broke down and honored the word of God when he wrote that down. He should be called John. See, and he come into the agreement with the word of God, and he began to honor what God, the word God had sent out. The moment he began to honor what the word God sent out, he began to speak again. So when we honor what the words that God speaks to us, it changes things and it opens things up to us. And God's like, you know what? That's faith. When God speaks a word to me from heaven and I don't see the beginning from the end or the middle, I don't need to know that. All I need to know is it's from God and I'm hanging on to it for dear life. I'm tying a rope, a knot at the end of the rope, and I'm hanging on to what God's spoken, no matter what my circumstances are, no matter how many surgeries you have, no matter how ill you are, no matter how sick you are, no matter how broke you are, no matter what your current situations that you're holding on. Because you know why? Because God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and it's up to him to finance the vision. Glory to God. See, if he gave us a vision that makes sense, we could do it on our own. We would take credit for it on our own. But he gives us things and stuff, and he shows us things that the only way it can come to pass is with the Spirit of God and the Word of God working in coercion in our lives to bring it to pass. See, he don't give us things that are easy to get hold of. He gives us things that they're certainly possible, but we have to be in the Spirit, and we have to walk with the Spirit of God to make them possible. Glory to God.
Yep, and that's exactly why we need to embrace that word and say, God, let it come to be. I do what you will, you know, because you're right. They are things that are bigger than us. So when God speaks, it's stuff, it's going to be hard to understand, because if it was simple and easy, then we would, like you said, we would think it was us. So it has to be bigger than us and beyond us, because only God can do it. and he'll do it through us. And so that's why it's key that we say, yes, I come into agreement with that word. Let everything come to pass, Lord. Because if we say, well, I don't see how that could happen, of course we don't see how that could happen, because only God can do it through us. It has to be bigger than us. But do we say, I don't believe it? Or do we say, yes, I come into agreement with it, and I wonder how God's going to do it? But I know he will.
The power, look, the power, see that key right there? The power of life and death is in the tongue. And the power of life and death is the key sometimes. It's in the tongue. Is yes. What we confess, yeah. You know what I mean? And what we confess in our life and what we come into agreement with. See, just like I told you a while ago, Wendy, you said, I've been feeling stuck. You just confess that listen, you've listened to the wrong voices, things have happened and stuff, but you confess from this point forward that the Spirit of God says I'm getting out of this place. The Spirit of God says that He's guiding me. The Word of God says that God surrounds me. The Word of God says that it's a word, a lamp unto my path. So if you're following the Word of God, He's going to light the path up for you. And I'm telling you, Wendy, if you listen to what I'm saying today, there'll be breakthrough in your life. If you don't listen to what I say, you're going to be stuck where you're at. But if you listen to the Word of God and you listen to what the man of God and the woman of God are speaking to you today, you'll have explosive breakthrough in your life, Wendy, and just keep walking it out. You can't go wrong when you follow the Spirit of God and the Word of God every day, Wendy. You'll get out of that being in it stuck in that rut. Yeah. God show me. See, God is showing you right now. He's showing you to follow the Word of God and to cancel every other voice out there. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Because if you're stuck, Lord, then the only way to go is up. That's good. That's it. We're going up.
When you hit rock bottom, there's only one place to look, and that's up. Glory to God. Yep. The Bible says to be wise as a serpent and harmless as dove. And I scratched my head on that one time, and I said, wise as a serpent? You mean to tell me that there's wisdom in the serpent? And yes, there is wisdom in a serpent. I'll tell you why there's wisdom in a serpent. Because a serpent lays on its belly at the lowest point there is, and the only way that serpent can do is look up. So when we're in the lowest position that we can possibly be, the only position we can look up, there's wisdom to be found when we look up, glory to God. And a dove, and harmless as a dove, you know why a dove's harmless? Because a dove will lock, he'll lock its eyes on one thing and focus on one thing. That's why Misty Edwards wrote a song that said, give me dove eyes. That means give me eyes that only see Jesus. Give me eyes that are only locked on God. Give me eyes that don't see the storm. Give me eyes that only see the Savior. Give me eyes that only see God through everything. That's why Misty Edwards wrote that song, Give Me Dove Eyes. So that's why there's wisdom in a snake. You lay at the lowest place that you can, and you can only look up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
That's so good.
That's God, you know. That's good God. I'm telling you, I'm just an old country boy, or any kind of revelation I get's just straight from the Spirit of God, because I wouldn't have thought of it myself. I can tell you that right now. That's the only kind of revelation I want. Well, we're a couple hundred miles apart now, about 150 miles apart right now.
Yeah.
We are. You just kind of sprung this on me at the last minute. We were talking about doing a live, but all of a sudden I just tuned in to watch you, and then you popped me on here and stuff to get people to get me up today and everything.
Yep, because you're a fiery preacher, man.
Well, you're a good teaching woman, so it takes both sometimes to go. You know, we need people to teach like you do to be able to break things open and stuff like that, and then you need people to come in and, you know, it says, how can they hear without a, you know, how can they hear without a preacher, you know?
Yep.
How can they hear? How can anybody hear without a preacher, with somebody to break the word open and break the word down and share the word and evangelists to go out and evangelize the word, you know?
Yep.
It's all based off the word. It, you know, Jesus is a chief cornerstone, which means the word, and he was the word that became flesh, which means the word is always the chief cornerstone of everything we do.
Yeah.
Even the prophetic and everything we do, the word is the chief cornerstone. Matter of fact, when the word has to go out and it's got to be preached and it's got to be believed on. And once the word is preached and it's believed on, that's when the signs and wonders and miracles and everything happen, is when the word goes out. And the Bible says when the word goes out, it accomplishes everything that God pleases. It don't accomplish everything man pleases. It accomplishes everything when it returns back to God, a true word. It accomplished everything he pleases. And believe me, he is the master. Listen, he is the master. He knows what needs to be done. He knows what needs to be said. And he knows the people that he has in the position right now during this hour. And the people that God has in the position to speak these things are not your normal everyday people, and are not your normal everyday preachers. But some of them are wild men like John the Baptist that come up out of the desert sometimes speaking and preaching the word of God. Some of them are wild looking people that have been through hell, and they've been through the fire, and you know, they've been through addiction, they've been through loss, they've been through everything that there is to been through. They've been hurt every which way they've been to hurt. They've been you know, their lives have been in shambles, and God's just picked them up and put them back on their feet and filled them with the Spirit of God and healed them and delivered them and said, "Now speak what thus saith the Lord in your life, and now follow me." Glory to God. That's all I am, is just somebody that said yes to God, that tapped out to myself and said yes to God. And God's got people out there right now that are fireballs, glory to God, in this hour, that are going to preach and going to love people. Listen, love is also something that has to be a foundational. Before, if you really want a real prophet, I know I've heard it said that some people say, well, they get harsh, or they did this. No, a real prophet loves. Glory to God. Everything's a foundation of love. A real apostle loves. A real prophet loves. A real evangelist loves. A real teacher loves. And love is the foundation that they do everything out of their heart. And it's a true love that only comes from God, glory to God, that they have for God's people and for God's word, glory to God. See, that's why you love God and not the world, glory to God, when you go out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
That's the most powerful thing.
That's it. Manda da ba shanda da boku raba sanda da baku raba shiki manda da baka anda da boku si mena bakuti kanda da baha siki anda da boho. Richard Curtis, I see you, Richard, like roaring like a, beginning to roar like a lion. It's almost like that you went to two or three places, and it's almost like they blocked you from here, and they kind of pushed you to the side here, and they blocked you there. But it's kind of like the tomb is like a stone's being rolled away from what's been hindering you, Richard, and that you're going to begin to roar. I see you. It's like the angels come and roll the stone away, and then all of a sudden you come out and you're roaring, glory to God, in these areas that you've been pushed to the side in, Richard. So I bless you with that. Just roar like a lion. Like that song says, let the lion roar. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'll let you get back to your live there since you've seen me and stuff like that. And I'll be catching you soon, okay?
Okay. I'm going to eat it anyways. Okay. Bye, honey. Okay. So anyways, I think we're about done here. I just wanted to share about that, about embracing that word from God and coming into agreement with it. And right now, just like John the Baptist was a forerunner for that era, that we are now entering a new era. And you know, and you hear the prophets, people have been talking about a shift for the last few years. And I know there has been a shift. And there's been those of us, the forerunners, that don't look like everyone else, the ones that feel like we've been locked away in a cave and God hasn't been using us. But we are the ones that have been preparing the new wineskins. And we are the ones, God, we are those eagles from Gina Golson's dream at Red River. We're the Red River Eagles. We are the forerunners God has been preparing, just like John the Baptist was the forerunner that was being prepared in the womb to come and to be the one to basically to restore and walk out the prophetic word and to bring that prophecy into the new era to pave the way for Jesus. We, the forerunners, the fiery ones Chris was talking about, are now the ones we've been being prepared these last several years. God is preparing us as we have been preparing those new wineskins. God is making us into those new wineskins, and he is sending us out now as those forerunners. We have been being prepared in his womb, in the spirit. We've spiritually, God's prepared us. Just as John the Baptist in the womb was. God's had us. It's not a cave you've been in where you felt stuck, where you haven't been able to move, where maybe you've been in a church and they haven't even seen your giftings or your callings and you haven't been able to walk out or learn anything. It's because you are a new wineskin. God has new plans. He has been preserving you from everything out there that's been tainted. He has kept you pure as that new wineskin. And so we are now, God is now sending you out as forerunners. And that's why the prophetic has been reinstated again. And the apostles have been reinstated again. God has brought the fivefold back into the body of Christ, and he is now cleaning up his churches and everything else we've seen God doing. And it's because he is now sending his forerunners out. That is us. We are going out to bring that new wine. So you have not been forgotten. You were not pushed to the side. You were not overlooked. God was protecting you and preserving you for such a time as this. And this is the time, and this is the time. It is time. And I know they've talked about this shift. There's been this shift in these last few years. This holiness. We've been getting prepared in the womb. And there's a holiness. So these fiery ones, these ones that haven't God that have been able to be used in the church, is because God is keeping you holy and making you holy. He's been molding your character, because it's the holy ones, the set apart ones. You know, John the Baptist, they circumcised at 8 days old, and that's when the prophetic word went out over his life. It's at 8 days old is when the boys were circumcised, and the circumcision symbolized being set apart for the Lord, and we are set apart for him. So now we can go out and bring the true new wine, as we are now entering the new era. There has been these shifts going on, and a lot of shaking up and cleaning up God's been doing, and then now it's time. And I know that's been prophesied too. It's time, but it is so much. It is time now that we are being sent out. It is time to go. It is time to go and do the works of the Lord. Many people have gotten blueprints. Many people have gotten visions for ministries and for just different things. And now is the time. The forerunners are being sent out, crying in the wilderness. Is this world not a wilderness right now? Is the state of the church not a wilderness right now? God is shifting things and changing things and cleaning things out and cleaning things up. And I mean, with the rise of the house church, he's reinstating the Acts 2 church, where they just gathered and met. There was no denomination. There was no, you have to preach for this many minutes and worship for this many minutes. It was people coming together and just loving God and wanting more of him. And that's where God's bringing us back to. And now it is time for those forerunners to go out now to bring that new wine that we've been getting prepared for. So we are like John the Baptist. God has prepared us in the womb. And these last few years, I know it's been rough. Has it not been rough for a lot of people? Because you love God, but you're sick of the way church is. And it's just, you know, it's like, I just want authentic relationship. I just want to be around people that just love God and want him. Can we come together and just love God? And, you know, and it's been rough because we've been being birthed. So we've gone from being hidden in the womb and being protected from being tainted and being kept pure. And now God has been birthing us. And that's why it's been so rough, because this new era in the body of Christ is now being birthed. And that is the forerunner. So we are going out like John the Baptist. We have been birthed, and now it is time to go. So I just love you guys, and I guess I can get fiery a little bit. I just need my husband to kind of get it started. But I'm more the teachery one. Let's go deep and meaningful. But it's just exciting too. So anyway, so all you forerunneries, all you people, yes, God is tired of all the fluff. He doesn't want the fluff. And you know, it's interesting. So many churches, just a little side note again. My brain goes a million directions. So, you know, in church, it was all about, well, let's bring in all the unbelievers. We got to have coffee, and we have to have donuts, and we have to have smoke and fancy lights during worship. And, you know, we have to have all this stuff to bring people in, because we need to bring in all the unbelievers so they can get saved. But did you know that wasn't originally the purpose of church? What was the church? It was believers coming together, wanting more of God and just worshiping him. And sometimes, yes, unbelievers would come and they would get saved. But now church has shifted, and they're using all this fluff to try to attract people in, but there is no real relationship. Yes, there is no real heart to their worship. There is no real substance to any of it. I mean, you can have a billion people in your church. You can have a mega church. But if no one truly loves God, what is the point? You know, it's not about numbers. It's not about fluff. It's about real relationship. And that's the ones God has been saving and preparing that we are now being sent out to show true worship and the true love of Christ to this world. So, anyways, I'm going to stop now. But I love you guys. I praise the Lord for everybody. And this was just been an awesome little life here. I will probably go live once in a while, you know, but I mean, God gives me stuff. I like to teach. I like to go deeper in the word. I like word studies, and just getting deep in all that stuff. So, and then my husband, he's just going to come and bring the fire when he does. He's going live here and there now. And we're just going to see what God's going to do in this new era and this new time. So, but, I know for both of us, it's about let's focus on encouragement. And that's the reason, like when he was talking about on his life, when they said, don't forsake assembling together, that was literally coming together to, and the purpose for it is in the verse prior to that. And the purpose for people coming together isn't just to have church and to have coffee and donuts and have smoke during worship, you know, smoke and lights and fanciness. It wasn't to entertain ourselves. The purpose of gathering together, which can be small, or even this is gathering, but it was to encourage. Yes, it was to exhort, which means to encourage each other towards love and goodness. So let's do that. And that's where my focus is now. I don't want to worry about, you know, what's wrong with Christianity today and what's wrong with the world today and this person's wrong because of this or that. You know, I can't do it anymore. I want to encourage. I want to walk towards love and goodness. I want to show the love of Jesus to those around me. You know, even with my photography business, I've been coming more into the realization it is a ministry. And I can show the love of Christ to people. That doesn't mean I'm going to shove Jesus down their throats, that I'm going to try to get every single person saved that walks in my studio, but they are going to feel the love of Christ. I'm going to love them. I'm going to bring joy to them. I'm going to encourage them. And whatever they're going through in life, I can pray with you. I will encourage you. And I will stand with you as you walk through stuff, you know, not just take your pictures. So let's go out there and let's say yes to God. Let's say yes to the words that have been spoken over our lives. And let's embrace the word of God, come into agreement with it, and go out and be a reflection of Christ to the world. So anyways, thank you, Lord, for all these people. And thank you, Lord, for everyone that's been on this live or that will see it. And I just pray, Lord, that you just bless each and every one of them and that you would speak to them, remind them of the words that you have spoken to them already, that they can come into agreement with those words and walk out your words that you have destined to come to pass. So right now, Lord, each one of us, we say, I agree with the words you have spoken over my life, Lord. I come into agreement with those words and let it be done as you have spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you guys later. Bye.